There has never been a more obvious sell.
There's a huge edge to be gained by looking into things like this.
With the hype, it's only going one way. He's still too cheap.
How can you not love fantasy football?
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. We're here. We made it. It's week 17, everybody. We are here to get you set up to help bring home those championships. We're going to be walking through every single game on this week's slate, talking DFS best plays, as well as helping with those starts here, or maybe some last-minute trade questions. Of course, I'll be dropping in a couple of dicey nuggets along the way. But Tom, we've waited all year for it. I felt like we were talking about this matchup 6-9 months ago, and it has not disappointed. The highest over-under of the year, Detroit at Dallas, 54-point over and under. Are you just starting every single person in this matchup and trying to find as many slots in DFS lineups for these guys as possible?
Absolutely. I think, you know, 54-point over-unders, they just haven't come along at all this season. It's been difficult enough to get an over-under over 47, 48 points quite often. And ultimately, this just feels like the matchup that if you're in a final and you don't have any of these players, come Sunday morning when you're looking at your team and what you've got left to play, you're going to be having to calculate, okay, well, can this player overcome X that such and such has already played? The only player that I don't feel particularly fantastic about is Tony Pollard. Detroit, they allow the fewest fantasy points to running backs. Tony Pollard has barely been doing anything over the last few weeks. He's having odd moments. And when we sit back at the end of the season, Tony Pollard's going to be somebody who has accumulated enough points to be, you know, like a fringe running back one or whatever. But he's only had two top 10 finishes all year. He has not helped your teams. He's not hindered them necessarily. But I don't think that this is going to be a big game for him either. I think it's much easier to look at the passing game and see that there are so many avenues to success here. Jared Goff, he's been excellent against the blitz lately, which is something the Cowboys do like to use. They blitz at the ninth highest rate. Sam Laporta, he's coming off his lowest target share of the year at 7.7%. But I don't feel like he can't play well in this one. You know, the Cowboys, they rank 26th in defensive DVOA against the tight end position. They haven't given up a lot of fantasy points there, but they haven't faced a huge amount of great tight ends, and I think Laporta can outplay that. The Cowboys, Dak's been at like the fourth highest pass rate of over expectation over the last five games. They've just been working things well. They play at their best when CeeDee Lamb is playing out of the slot, and CeeDee Lamb has been cooking there all season, well, particularly since the bye week. And that's one of the weaknesses that the Lions do have against opposing slot receivers. So, yeah, I think the easy starts, the obvious starts, there's no reason why you'd sit them. Tony Pollard, I think you probably just have to play him. And then getting down to guys like Jameson Williams, we've seen his role grow over the last few weeks. His target share between weeks 1 to 14 was 7.7%. Week 15 to 16, it's been 18.6%. He's yet to really turn it into a massive game. But there's enough there that if you need a kind of dart throw wide receiver, I don't mind playing him. I think Brandon Cooks is safer than Michael Gallup to me. Michael Gallup just really hasn't got it done. But yeah, and I'd also be fine playing Jake Ferguson. It feels like you've just got to find ways to start as many people as you can, as you said.
Yeah, I think on the Jameson Williams nugget, we talked about it a few weeks ago about how I think this Detroit offense needs another spark in the playoffs. And I think that they've realized they need Jameson Williams to be a weapon rather than just relying on Laporta and Russell Brown and the running back. So I do think that Jameson Williams is going to continue to get force-fed targets and potentially options through the next couple of weeks. But if he doesn't start doing something with it a little bit more than he has done, I think that could disappear quite quickly. So for this week, as you said, I'm happy with it as a dart throw. If you're a massive underdog and absolutely desperately looking for that upside, maybe he's the kind of player that you can slot in and work there. Moving across to another matchup, Tom, that I know you are a huge fan of and have had high hopes for this since you were drafting those best ball teams back in the summer. Miami at Baltimore. This is the battle for the number one seed. Is there anyone that you're nervous about starting this week in this matchup?
it's going to sound like I'm coming purely from a place of being a Raven, but I'm a little bit nervous about Tyreek Hill. I think he's clearly not 100%. With Jaylen Waddle being reported that he's probably not going to face the Ravens this week, it's going to be so much easier for the Ravens to key in on Tyreek Hill, who between weeks 1 to 13 was averaging 4.8 yards per route. But over the last two, it's dropped to 2.6. Like, that's a huge difference. He hasn't been finishing right up there. He's had two straight games outside the top 15 wide receivers each week. And I just worry that if Jaylen Waddle's not out there, the Ravens are going to be able to just lean enough coverage towards Hill that he isn't going to deliver in the biggest spot that we want. Tua hasn't been delivering from fantasy point, fantasy perspective. He's in his last three been the QB 21, the QB 22, and QB 21. That's fine if you're in a super flex and you're looking for your QB 2. But in championship weekend, that's not delivering the kind of ceiling we'd hope for. We just saw what this Ravens defense did to Brock Purdy. I think, you know, we can definitely draw parallels between the Miami offense and the 49ers. Mike McDonald's defense is absolutely cooking. The amount of times that they put Brock Purdy in a blender last week, I'm not sure that I have the faith in Tua to be able to deal with that. But what we have seen is that the Ravens defense is struggling against the run. Despite having Patrick Queen and despite having Roquan Smith, there are ways that you can get at them across the run. Like, Achane, he's not been in the top 20 finishes in his last three games, but this feels like the game that can set up well for him. Because you look at the running backs who've had real success against the Ravens this year. Kyren Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, and CMC. All of those kind of explosive players, all of those players who are going to play a little bit in the pass-catching role, and not necessarily the big bruiser running backs who the Ravens do have the defensive line to stop. So I think Devon Achane can really... You know, they've been holding him back at times. They've not been giving him lots of touches. And if this is the reason why, you know, this kind of big game with the number one seed on the line, then I think if you need to shoot for ceiling, then Devon Achane, someone I would have complete faith putting him. Over on the Ravens side of things, Lamar Jackson, the last three, he's been the QB1 overall, QB9, QB8. And it just seems like he's feeling very comfortable in this offense at this point. Zay Flowers coming into this game after a 38% target share against the Niners, career high 13 targets. He went 72 and a touchdown, and the touchdown was one of the best play designs I saw last week. And Zay Flowers now, earlier on in the season, it was tricky starting him because you were looking at getting like wide receiver 40 returns a lot of the time. But he's been a top 15 wide receiver in three of the last four. And I feel like the way that he can separate and move is going to be fine against Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey. Gus Edwards, I do have a few concerns about him. He looked better against the Niners than he's done in recent weeks, but he's now five straight games without averaging over 3.6 yards per carry. They need that explosivity if they're going to take on offenses and defenses like the Dolphins, who've been playing excellently lately. Outside of them, I think you start Isaiah Likely. I think you can start Raheem Mostert as well, but it's a bit more condensed than we might have thought it would be. Odell Beckham's kind of reverted to being the Ravens' deep threat at the minute. And Rashad Bateman is working a bit more in the intermediary area. But I don't think you could start either of them unless you really need an absolute dart throw.
No, I think we talk about these matchups every week, Tom. And we never sit here and break down offensive line, defensive line tendencies and things like that. But I think the key for this game is the Miami's interior run blocking, quite frankly. We know that Connor Williams is on IR. They've got Liam Eikenberg, who came into the league as potentially a tackle, got shifted inside, is now playing centre. He's PFF's 36th out of 37th ranked centre currently. Their two guards are both injured. I think that is going to be hugely critical to how they can hold up, both in the passing game. We know that Tua gets the ball out quickly, but pressure directly in your face through the middle is sometimes where Tua struggles. But I think in the run game, we know that the Ravens are going to be smart enough to set the edge. You know, you've got Clowney, you've got OA. We're going to try and set the edge and force the Dolphins to try and run the ball between the tackles. And I don't know if those three interior blockers for the Dolphins are going to be able to hold up. So I think it's fascinating to see what sort of schematic tweaks, shall we say, Daniel's coming up with to hopefully create some fantasy relevancy for Chen and Mostert. But I think that's going to be a fascinating matchup to certainly watch come Sunday. If you are here, Tom just flashed up on screen. If you want your questions answered, we are going to be here live probably for the next hour plus. We'll be answering 100% of your questions. If you've got start sit questions, trade questions, anything, whether it be DFS lineup questions, anything like that, get them in that comment section below. If you're watching on Twitter, jump across to YouTube because we can't see your comments on Twitter as we're going. The next matchup, fairly healthy over-under at 48, but Arizona at Philadelphia. We know that this Eagles offense has had some struggles lately. Do you think this could potentially be a get-right game as we're heading to the playoffs against what has been a fairly poor Cardinals defense?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, you look at the Cardinals, and you can see on screen there, they rank 31st for both the pass and run in DVOA. They do not have the strength on defense to deal with even kind of average teams, let alone the Eagles, who, while they're not playing anywhere close to the level they played at last year, they're still a top 8 passing offense. They're still a top 5 run offense. So what is it the Cardinals do well? I just don't know. I can't put my finger on one thing that they do particularly well. Since Kyler came back, he's flashed at points, and he's looked much better on the ground than we kind of expected him to be doing coming off an ACL injury. But his rushing production of 31.2 yards per game is 8th among all quarterbacks. He's very close to like the Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence area where it's kind of there, but it's not really helping. It's not massively boosting. All it's doing at the minute is just helping Kyler just stay afloat in his fantasy production. His passing has been very spotty. Well, you know, sort of like 6% below his career average of 66% completion rate. And of course, part of that comes into the fact that Trey McBride is the only decent option who's been out there consistently. I think you can absolutely go back to Trey McBride this week after a disappointing week last week where he had 31 yards, which was lowest since week 9. So this week he faces an Eagles defense that allow the 12th most fantasy points to the tight end position. I think that he can be a league winner for you this week, much like he's been a league winner all season. If Marquise Brown plays, I think you have to play him just because the Eagles are so bad against the pass. They've allowed the league high most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. But outside of him, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Rondale Moore, are you really wanting to play them in championship weekend? That's not something I can bring myself to do. I think that on the Eagles side, it's very straightforward. You know, you start everyone. Goddard had 9 targets in back-to-back games, and he looks pretty good at the minute. I think you look at DeAndre Swift, and he had his best game that he's had in weeks. So that all just feels very easy for me. James Conner is somebody that I think if you've got him, you're probably going to have to play him. He's been a top 12 running back for 3 weeks straight. He's had 306 yards and 4 touchdowns in that period. But I don't feel fantastic about it because the Eagles, they've given up the 3rd fewest fantasy points to the running back position. Their run defense ranks 5th best. Ranked 16th best. It's middle of the road, but they have a habit of kind of clamping down on running backs in terms of giving up fantasy points.
Yeah, I think James Conner, for me, he's kind of outside my top 20. He's a start if you're absolutely desperate, but hopefully if you've made your fantasy title game, if you're playing for that championship, hopefully you've got a better option than James Conner to be selecting in there right now. The Kyler Murray question, I wanted to pick your brains, Tom. I've been toying with this over the last few days. I think I've been a proponent that the Cardinals would keep Kyler Murray long term. I think that was my thought. But given they're now potentially got a top 2 pick, we know that there's 2 elite options in this draft upcoming. Do you think that Kyler Murray could be moved this offseason?
I definitely think he could be, and I think that there's enough teams who would look at Kyler Murray and go, okay, his contract's quite palatable. His play coming back from injury was reasonable. But I can't work out what the kind of compensation would be for Kyler Murray. If I was the Cardinals, I would want a decent return for him. I think, you know, you'd have to say minimum of first round pick for a player who's got the record he's got. But how many teams are going to want to take a first round pick on a quarterback who is getting paid a lot of money and hasn't really shown an awful lot since he came back in the first offense that he's ever changed from the offense he'd been running for the last few years, which was the one which he was, you know, Taylor designed for him and plucked as the QB1 in that draft. So I think he can. I think that the Cardinals could go a number of ways because I don't think that the Cardinals are going to be able to get right in just one draft. I think you're talking about 2 years before they're going to be back competing at the level they'd like to be.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating question and one we're probably going to be talking about for the next, what, 3-4 months. I think actually Kyler's contract's quite palatable. It's $37 million next year, $30 million, $39 million if he's traded. And those numbers are really reasonable for a franchise quarterback. So yeah, I think you're probably wanting a first if you're the Cardinals. And I think if a team's willing to pay that, then I think he gets moved. If not, I guess the Cardinals probably move back from the 102 if that's where they end up landing. But we've got a couple of questions in the chat, Tom. So Jerry's asking Tua or Goff this week. That's Goff for me.
Yeah, that's Goff for me too.
Perfect. And then Brian, he's got a dynasty question. He'll either have the 101 or 102 as he's in the toilet bowl. Desperate for running back. Could I really pass on my MHJ for whichever running back lands in the best spot? Never, ever, 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 ever draft for need in Dynasty. Draft for talent, trade for need. It's one of my monikers that you'll hear me saying for the next 6 months as we're talking through prospects. Never, ever draft for need, particularly in this draft where it's looking like running back could be very thin. And in a 1QB league, we could see 3-4 wide receivers and a tight end go before any running back is there. So if you are truly that desperate at running back, maybe make a trade. But yeah, do not reach and take a running back in the top two picks this year.
I think, I mean, you could take the 101 and trade that for somebody, you know, potentially the kind of guys like Bijan Robinson or Breece Hall. You know, it doesn't need to be a rookie.
With the way Harrison looks as a prospect, you can probably get something on top of Bijan or Breece Hall for the 101 right now. I think he's going to walk into the NFL as probably a top 10 wide receiver in Dynasty, and maybe I'm being a little bit soft there. He could end up being a top 5 wide receiver. That's how good he looks as a prospect. Moving across to New Orleans at Tampa. This is the battle for the NFC South that nobody wanted to see. Fairly low over-under. It feels like this Bucs offense is really humming, and it's nice because it's condensed into 4 startable options. Is there anyone else outside Evans, White, Baker, Godwin that you're interested in?
No. You look at this Saints defense, and particularly without Marshon Lattimore, it takes away that worry that we might have had about Mike Evans having to face his nemesis. Then you look at what Rashad White's doing. Last week, he struggled against a pass funnel defense of Jaguars. You know, he posted his lowest yards per carry of the season, but he made up for it by seeing a 20% target share for the first time this week. Baker Mayfield, he's thrown for multiple touchdowns in the last 3 games. Even when the last time these two teams met in week 4, he had 22.9 points. He is doing everything consistently, and it's not going to anyone outside of the, you know, Mayfield, White, Evans, and Godwin. Yes, there are games where, okay, Cade Otton's going to pop up with a touchdown. But Cade Otton, even in the games where he scored a touchdown, quite often ends up on like 9.4 points. He's just sadly not a relevant player this year. And then on the other side of things, Chris Olave, I think you could start him with complete confidence. He's been over 110 yards in 3 of the last 4 games, and the Bucs allow the 4th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. Juwan Johnson's had back-to-back games with touchdowns, finished as tight end 11 and tight end 5. Tampa allow the 5th most fantasy points to the tight end position. Alvin Kamara, possibly be a little bit worried about him. He had his worst finish of the year last week. RB38, he had 16 receiving yards, which was like, is by far a good result for him. And then you look at the Bucs, and they're not a team that gives up loads of receiving yards to opposing running backs. But Derek Carr, I mean, he's coming off his best fantasy performance of the year, 25 points, QB2. second free touchdown game of the year. So it feels like if I was going to play this game from a DFS point of view, I'd be looking at the pass catchers, maybe Rashad White. But in terms of redraft, you kind of have to start Alvin Kamara if you're in the fantasy playoffs. He's got you here, and you just got to have a little faith that you can have a better week this week.
Yeah, it feels like we talked in the middle of the season that he had that crazy high target volume that he was getting, you know, 7-8 receptions, and it was giving you that floor. Feels like that's reduced slightly in the last few weeks, and he's no longer giving you that, you know, bankable 10 points a game that, you know, just in the receiving game. So hopefully he gets right here, but it is a tough matchup. We know that, you know, that Bucs defense, particularly since they've benched White, it's better against the pass, and hopefully that means that, you know, Kamara can kind of break out of that. But Jerry's back in the chat asking Najee Harris or Godwin this week. That's Godwin for me, presuming PPR.
Yeah, I'd go Godwin as well. I do like the matchup for Najee Harris, but I prefer this one for Godwin.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, had a couple of good weeks since his wife tweeted. Hopefully he can continue that run and keep it going. We talked about two playoff teams. We've got another here in the Rams going up against the New York Giants. Now, the Rams have kind of been the surprise, should we say, for fantasy football this year. We obviously seen Kyren Williams go undrafted in most redraft leagues, the same with Puka Nacua. Are they going to carry your teams to the playoffs and then help you win a title with a juicy matchup this week, or do you think there's potential they could disappoint?
So earlier today, I was on the road of his podcast with Sean Siegel and Colm Kelly, and we were talking about teams that we all have in the FFPC Superflex Best Ball Final. And the one player who we were all talking about being a real worry to us and concern is Kyren Williams. None of us have Kyren Williams on our teams. And this matchup, the Giants, they allow the 11th most fantasy points to running backs. They rank 27th in run defense DVOA. They've allowed 7 top 7 finishes this year. Kyren, he's rushed for over 100 yards in 4 of his last 5 games. It just feels really difficult to see how a team that are allowing 4.6 yards per carry to running backs are suddenly going to stop Kyren Williams, who's been playing fantastic. So, yeah, as somebody with no Kyren Williams at this stage in the fantasy season, I think I'll end up playing a decent amount of Kyren Williams in DFS this week in the hope that something offsets. In terms of the pass catchers, this very straightforward. Like, you know, Cooper Kupp has been balling. He's had 22 catches in the last 3 games. He's been the wide receiver 4, 5, and then wide receiver 36, which was a bit disappointing. Nacua, wide receiver 3 last week. He's had 7 targets in every single game this year. And then on the other side, the only player I really want to play, taking an absolute dart throw in DFS, is Darren Waller, because the Rams will have 6th most fantasy points to the tight end position. Darren Waller's come back and had 11 targets in his last 2 games. Saquon, in redraft or dynasty, if you've made a final with him on your roster, okay, you can play him. But the Rams will have the 3rd fewest running back fantasy points, the 2nd fewest receiving yards to the position. That's just not a play that I'm going to be chasing in DFS this week. But yeah, I think you can look at Matthew Stafford double stacks in DFS with one of the pass catchers as well as Kyren Williams, or both the pass catchers and then fade Kyren Williams. The Giants, they allowed both Derek Carr and Jalen Hurts to score 20-plus points in the last 2 weeks. So you should feel very good about Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about Kyren Williams at the top there. He's running back 2 for me this week. I think if you've got him, you can't get away from him. I know you don't want to hear that. I feel like I'm twisting the knife in. But he's been phenomenal this year. And I think you saw it a couple of weeks ago when, you know, despite the 2 fumbles, still getting over 30 touches in that game, the Rams are going to continue to ride him. And I think that little injury spell away in the middle of the year, it's almost giving him that freshness as we see down this playoff stretch that's really helping you right now. Of the Giants receivers, now I'm intrigued if we're talking about potential double stacks with Stafford. Of a bring back, you mentioned Waller. If you're looking at one of the wide receivers, now we've got Wandale Robinson, who is the kind of after the catch gadget player, a lot of slot work. We've got Slayton, who is your kind of X outside. Jalen Hyatt's flashed a couple of times. Any interest in any of them as a potential bring back this week?
Yeah, I don't hate the Hyatt show. I think that, you know, it's tricky because it's Tyrod Taylor now there as the quarterback. It's not Tommy DeVito. And so much of what we've seen over the last few weeks was with Tommy DeVito. Jalen Hyatt definitely has flashed greater ceiling than most of the Giants wide receivers. You know, he's had 109 yards a few weeks ago on only five catches. That's the kind of player who we want. You know, if go back to week 7, he had two catches for 75 yards. So he can change the outcomes very quickly. I just think when I look at this game, the Rams, they've been fairly good on offense and defense all year. They've allowed the 13th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. So it's like, it's not a big weakness, but it's not necessarily a strength either. But I struggle to see the Giants' offensive line coping with the Rams' defensive line. I think that mismatch is going to be where this game's absolutely won. And Tyrod Taylor's probably going to have to get out and show us what he's got left in the tank with his legs.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, though. You know, we're talking about who's going to be the wide receiver. You mentioned Tommy DeVito. He was 43rd of 46 quarterbacks in average depth of target at 6.7 yards. Tyrod Taylor, through his 100 dropbacks this year, is at 9. So he's 7th of those 46 quarterbacks. So he is pushing the ball downfield more, which maybe gives that, you know, Jalen Hyatt, Darius Slayton, more of an opportunity than someone like Wandale Robinson. The next matchup we're going to discuss, though, Las Vegas at Indianapolis. This is not perhaps the quarterback battle that we expected at the beginning of the year, but two guys that have been playing decent football down the stretch here. Indianapolis has been a defense that we've been able to get after for matchups pretty much all season. Are you continuing to ride that and target some Raiders players in both in your selecting lineups, but also in DFS?
No, I think it would be the simple answer. The Raiders, they're a run-funnel defense. They've been good against the pass all year. They rank 6th best in defensive DVOA, and they're 19th against the run. They allow the 10th most fantasy points to the position. And Jonathan Taylor needs that after last week, kind of really disappointed. He wasn't seeing the high-value touches, really kind of didn't see the volume we were hoping for either. The Raiders, they've allowed 13 running back rushing touchdowns in 15 games this year. It's almost a lock that a running back scores a touchdown against them each week. The Colts, they've been kind of like, yeah, there's weeks where you can get after them and then weeks where you can't. Like, they've allowed 6 fewest fantasy points to the position, given up only 2 games of 16 or more points since week 8. And since the Raiders benched Jimmy G, Devontae Adams, it's been really boom-bust, you know. He's had 3 games below 60 yards and only 2 touchdowns. Last week, 1 catch for 4 yards. You have no idea what you're going to get week to week. I don't think that I want to start him in this situation, but we have seen weeks where he kind of is good, and I think you kind of have to live and die by those studs. It's to bench him, you're going to have a really good option elsewhere. Michael Pittman's return would be big for the Colts because last week the wide receivers combined for 10 catches for 77 yards. It's like the whole offense just felt like it had taken a massive backward step without him. But it sounds like he's going to clear concussion protocol today and he should be back.
Yeah, I think Pittman, he changes this whole offense. He potentially changes this whole matchup. He's a top 12 wide receiver for me this week. I think providing he clears, which it sounds like he's going to, he's absolutely a player you've got to get in. Devontae Adams, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. He's so boom bust, it's hard. But when I sit down and do my rankings on a Tuesday night, it's like, he's at 15 for me this week and I just can't get him any lower because I'm looking at guys and I'm like, he has potential to completely win you a week. And if he goes off in championship week, are you going to be kicking yourself because you decided to bench Devontae Adams? Like, you know, he's probably a first, second round pick for you this year. You kind of got to roll with him. And yeah, I get it. I get the point of, you know, let's not attack him in DFS where you can and let's avoid him there. But if you're in a final, you've got to be absolutely loaded to not be starting Devontae Adams right now.
Absolutely. And if you survived this far in the league with Devontae Adams and the boom-bust nature that he's brought, and you still made the final, then absolutely go and start him this week because he's done enough for you already.
Yeah, absolutely. The next matchup we're going to talk about, an AFC East battle, changing of the guard. The Patriots are diminished, looking at quarterback for next year already. The Bills seem to be the hottest team, though, in the league right now, a team nobody's going to want to play in the playoffs. And it feels like this could be an absolute stomping. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting seeing how the Bills decide to attack this game, because the Patriots' run defense is second best in DVOA. What they're weak against is pass-catching running backs. They rank 28th in DVOA against them. But if the Patriots are able to kind of slow down the rushing attack of the Bills, which has been a real strength for them over the last few weeks, they ranked 28th in pass rate over expected over the last four games, and they've really leaned on James Cook and Josh Allen's legs. And it's been a hindrance to Stefon Diggs, who's now had nine games in a row where he's not had 100-yard receiving. He's delivered single-digit performances in five of the last six games. So it's been tough sledding for Stefon Diggs. But Stefon Diggs has played well against the Patriots over the last few years. He's really struggling to get a fantasy-worthy performance, but I wouldn't have any problem playing him this week for much of the same reason we've talked about other underperforming studs. Like, if you manage to get this far into your league and if you're playing in a final with Stefon Diggs on your team, then yeah, I think that's kind of, you just lean into it. But on the Patriots side, the only player I could bring myself to play would be Zeke, who scored 20 plus points in two of the last three games. Buffalo ranked 20th in run defense DVOA. And I think that the Patriots are content to just give the ball to Zeke and just wind the clock down and all eyes towards the draft.
It feels like every time they hand the ball off to Zeke, it's just counting down the minutes till the season ends and they can start looking at prospects, doesn't it? You mentioned Stefon Diggs. Now, he's cleared 9 points once in his last 6 weeks. Do you think that... I know we got starter studs, but do you think there's any argument to be getting away from him this week?
Well, there's an element of it which, you know, I could understand it, but I think when you look at it and go, okay, Stefon Diggs, he's played eight games against the Patriots. He's got 51 catches for 676 yards, which is an average of 84 yards per game, and he scored seven touchdowns in eight games against them. He scored in the last four games that they've played against them. When they played earlier this season, he had six for 58 yards and a touchdown. When they played in the playoffs or beginning of the year, he had 104 receiving yards and a touchdown. Stefon Diggs can get against this Bill Belichick defense, and they're a defense that are known for being able to take away the top options. So I think I'd just be more open to it than possibly most are.
Yeah, I think, as you said, if you get to this point, he's still a top 15 wide receiver for me this week. You kind of got to plug him in and play him. The question, though, from one of our members, Wonky Penguin, I think she does this every week just to be able to blame you, Tom, if you get it wrong. So no pressure again. But Josh Allen versus CJ Stroud, most important league, where are you going here?
It's just hard to go past Josh Allen. I mean, he's been so consistently good this year. I think, yeah, CJ Stroud's facing a nice matchup, and I'd have him as probably a top seven, top eight option this week, but I'd still go Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen for me. I've got Allen at three, CJ Stroud at eight. So there's a sizable gap there. Moving across to a questionable matchup. Carolina feels like they've played better the last few weeks, showing some signs from Bryce Young against Jacksonville. Now, it looks like Trevor Lawrence is probably out. I'm guessing this 38 over-under is with Trevor Lawrence not in the lineup, but correct me if I'm wrong, have you seen anything or heard anything about that?
I believe he was practicing today as a limited participant, which, you know, that's Thursday. I think the Jags possibly just need to sit him and really hope that they have enough to make the playoffs without him this week, because he's just had so many injuries that he's picked up over the last few weeks, and there's no point arriving in the playoffs only for you just absolutely bomb when you get there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tricky for the Jags to play him. But if he does go, it'll be a massive uptick for everyone on the Jags offense. Evan Ingram's been a top 10 tight end in four of the last five games. We see that Calvin Ridley, you know, he's had 34 targets in the last three games, but only 15 catches. We talked about this last week. He just needs easier targets. Everything is, you know, he's having to really fight for it. Travis Etienne, six straight games outside the top 12 running backs. I'm just not sure how much his fortunes are going to change. Every week we talk about the fact that the Panthers allow the most running back rushing touchdowns per game at 1.4. So perhaps he gets in the end zone, but he's really struggling to turn it into big fantasy days. On the other side, you mentioned it, Bryce Young, he has played better over the last couple of weeks. He's 15th in passing EPA over that period, the last two games, ahead of Dak, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, and Kyler Murray. And we've even seen a bit of a resurgence for Adam Thielen, who's had two double-digit points games in the last three, which makes him at least flex-worthy in a matchup against Jags defense that is stronger against the run than they are against the pass.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Bryce Young. I know we talked about it, I think, 3-4 weeks ago now, where I was saying go out and buy him in Dynasty because people are basically out on him and he's not the problem. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what Carolina do this offseason because they seriously need to address that offensive line, but they also probably need to add at least two receiving weapons. And they've obviously not got a huge amount of draft capital to go and do it. So it'll be fascinating to see how they go about doing that, who they target. But we know that they're going to pour resources into those positions. And I think that if you give Bryce Young a little bit better surrounding talent, a stable coaching staff with a decent scheme that puts him in advantageous situations, I think he's going to show, you know, what made him the first overall pick 9 months ago, whenever it was. But before we move on to our next matchup, help us with our goal. Tom and I sat down and we said we want to hit 1,500 subscribers by the end of the season. We are so close. We are so, so close. If you haven't hit the subscribe button, go ahead, do a solid, click subscribe right now. We have got so much planned for the offseason. You know, do it now and it will help you later. Tennessee at Houston. We talked about CJ Stroud being healthy. That boosts pretty much every option in this Texans offense to potentially start with it.
Massively so. And I think you look at this, you know, Nico Collins seems to be getting healthier. Noah Brown has played well at times and can be relied on enough. No questions about them. I think it'll be an uptick for Devin Singletary as well, who is the RB1 on this offense. Really, it kind of comes down to, is Will Levis going to be healthy enough to play on the other side of the ball? Ryan Tannehill was kind of fine last week, but Will Levis, he brings that bit more gung-ho attitude to it, and I think that's the right way to attack the Texans. Their pass defense ranks 27th in DVOA, whereas their run defense ranks 7th. So it's not a great matchup for Derrick Henry. When the two teams met in week 15, DeAndre Hopkins had 4.1 points. The player who I think is a bit of a sneaky upside play is Chigozie Okonkwo, who was tight end 2 last week. He had 18.3 points. The Texans, they allow the fourth most fantasy points to the tight end position. And when you look at Okonkwo, over the last five games, he's averaged 50.8 yards per game, compared to weeks 1 to 11 when he averaged 21.0. So it just feels like things kind of clicked a little bit more for him in his second season now. But yeah, if you need to start Derrick Henry, I would, but that's not a play I'd be making in DFS this week.
Yeah, I've got that tough decision of Derrick Henry versus Chai Chandler in my home league championship. And I've been going back and forth all week on it. But one person looking for some championship start sit advice, Tom. Jack asks, pick two wide receivers and a flex. So James Conner, Rashee Rice, Amari Cooper, Devonta Smith, and Higgins.
For me, that's Amari Cooper, Devonta Smith, and T. Higgins.
Wait. You're not picking Rashee Rice?
No.
Man, we're going to big disagree here. I've got Rashee Rice as a top six wide receiver this week. I think it's a fantastic matchup against Cincinnati, the way their secondary has been playing. So Rashee Rice for me is an absolute must. I'd then go Devonta Smith and Amari Cooper as the other two.
So for what I was going to say is that T. Higgins would be the one player. If you wanted to start Rashee Rice, I would sub T. Higgins out for that. I think that T's matchup, we'll get to it in a bit, is the toughest out of all three of us.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. San Francisco at Washington, though. Look, you've got some plenty of star players on the San Francisco offense, and this is about as juicy a matchup as they come. Washington 32nd in points, adjusted points allowed to the wide to the running back position, 29th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. So start all 49ers, sit all Commanders. Should we move on?
I mean, there's probably a little more, slightly more, not a lot more to it. But yeah, I think Brandon Ayuk looked fantastic last week. He's averaging 12.9 yards per target, which is the highest rate for 1,000-yard receiver since 1999. He's getting those downfield shots, and this feels like the matchup where you could be getting more of them. Debo crushes against two high safeties, and since Washington fired their defensive coordinator, they've been playing two high safeties at like one of the highest rates in the league. The one position they're fairly good against is the tight end position. They've allowed the 8th fewest fantasy points to the tight end position. But George Kittle showed last week, you know, 7 for 126, 19.6 PPR points. It's rare that George Kittle has got there without touchdown equity over the last couple of years, but this year he's kind of been doing it and proved me wrong about him. But Washington, yeah, they allow fantasy points like no other team in the NFL, really. It's the perfect spot for Brock Purdy to bounce back after being embarrassed, really. And on the Washington side, it's kind of a little more interesting with Jacoby Brissett playing in there. You look at what we saw from Sam Howell over the last few weeks, like 35% completion rate over the last 3 weeks. That's just frankly embarrassing. With Jacoby Brissett, he had a 64% completion rate for the Browns in 2022, 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 12 games. He was kind of in that QB 15 to 22 range a lot of the time. And last week, he had 2 drives, and he went 10 of 13 for 100 yards and a touchdown. Terry McLaurin caught like 93 yards across those 2 drives. And he was also tackled at the 1 yard line on another bomb. So like it could have easily been an even bigger game for him. So I don't mind starting Terry McLaurin because the Niners, they do allow the 12th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. I won't be starting Antonio Gibson. He's been held under 38 yards in 3 of the last 4, even with Chris Rodriguez put on injured reserve. No interest in that play. If Brian Robinson comes back, I think that he's kind of interesting because what the Niners have struggled against when it comes to running backs lately have been these bigger, kind of more, you know, power backs. And while Brian Robinson isn't built like Derrick Henry, he has shown that he can get between the tackles and he can make life difficult in the trenches. So I don't mind that one. I'm kind of hoping that he comes up big for one of my best ball teams, which needs a big performance from its running back room.
And if we're looking at this for a DFS perspective, we're obviously potentially heavy stacking 49ers. Is there any potential bring back that you like more than others, or is it a case of Terry McLaurin is a good value at 5,500?
Yeah, I think Terry McLaurin's the obvious one. I think you can take the dart for Jahan Dotson, but the fact is Jahan Dotson just hasn't played well this year.
That hurts. But we'll move on. Atlanta at Chicago. It feels like Justin Fields, we say this every week, is playing for his future in Chicago. Do you think that he could potentially secure his future in Chicago whilst sticking the nail in the coffer of Arthur Smith?
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. I think what we've seen from Justin Fields is that he's still an incomplete player. You know, he's averaged 53% completion rate over the last 3 games, which ranks 37th out of 41 quarterbacks with 25 dropbacks or more in that spell. So it's not like Justin Fields has shown us that he's a completely different player. But what's been different for the Bears this year is that the team's been winning more. You know, they've got 6 wins so far. This feels like a winnable game for them. Fields, in terms of a fantasy player, he's QB6 over those last three games. He's making big plays. He ranks ninth in big-time throw rate, and he averages the second most rushing yards among quarterbacks, only behind Lamar Jackson. So even if the Bears decide to move on from him, we know what Justin Fields is at this point in his career. We know what we can count on. He's never really going to likely develop into a top passer, but he is going to be a good enough athlete that we can count on him. The Falcons have been a decent defense this year. They rank 28th against the pass and 5th best against the run. So it's like, if you want to take them on, you do want to pass the ball. So DJ Moore, it sounds like he's dealing with a couple of injuries. But the one thing that the Falcons do well is take away top options. We talked about this time and time again this season. They're not afraid to put AJ Terrell solely on a single player. They're not afraid to bring Jesse Bates down and just team up on a single player and eliminate them from it. We saw Mike Evans a couple of weeks ago. He just got taken out of the game, really. So if I'm in a final with DJ Moore, of course I'm playing him. In DFS, I think I prefer playing this one in a bit of a more slim outcome, like taking Justin Fields and then pairing it on the other side with Bijan Robinson, who scored 19 points for the third time in 5 games last week. So a career high, 10 targets, 31% team target share. No other player had more than 18%. And it came at the expense of Drake London, who had his second lowest target share of the season at 12.5%. It kind of remains to be seen whether that was just a last week thing or if we're going to see that every week. But also, we saw Kyle Pitts be tight end 10 last week. So is this just what Taylor Heinicke wants to do? Wants to go at Bijan Robinson with dump-offs? Wants to go to Kyle Pitts with dump-offs? And is it coming at the expense of pushing it downfield to Drake London? I would have difficulty starting Drake London in this game because the Bears, you know, they're the third best pass defense over the last 5 weeks. And I think it's easier to envisage a world where Bijan Robinson is getting there than Drake London.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to potentially attack it, as you said, just the nervousness around that. With the Chicago Bears running back room, it feels like one of them is going to have a good fantasy week. Any gut feeling on which one it is this week?
No, I mean, it's so difficult to, you know, there's weeks where we like Roshan Johnson because of his pass blocking ability. There's weeks where Donta Foreman is just going to go out and pick up the hard-earned yards on the ground. And against this run defense, which ranks 5th best, perhaps that's what they see being a good way to look at it. Khalil Herbert, I've got no idea when he's ever going to play well. It's so difficult to second guess.
Yeah, it feels like it's a lottery as to who gets in each week. Peanut Butter and Waivers is agreeing. Drake London's great, but yeah, tough to play him this week. And then Cade's in the chat asking, he's got Amari Cooper. Would you start Amari over any of these options? So it's Chris Olave, Puka Nacua, and Stephon Diggs.
Maybe Diggs.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at how I've got it ranked. I wouldn't. I think I'd sit Amari Cooper there. But yeah, let's be honest. It's just tough to trust with the injury, with that defense. I think that Olave is an absolute must start. He's got an incredible matchup. Yeah, I think I'd roll with the other three and sit Cooper, which feels sacrilegious to say after what he did last week, quite frankly. Moving across to the next slate of games will be the evening slate for us, the afternoon slate for those of you in the US. But before we do, you can join as a member. You get access to all of Tom's DFS content that will be continuing through week 18 into the playoffs, and you will get access to all of my dynasty content. The rookie guide is starting to take shape. You can hit the little join button down below, come a member, join the Discord, get access to so much more content than you could ever imagine. And it's for less than a cup of coffee a week. It is great value. As I mentioned, the evening slates, Pittsburgh at Seattle. It feels like this had high hopes at some points this year, but feels slightly disappointing with the potential quarterback situation as it is. Anyone particularly standing out as a great option for you this week?
Maybe I'm just a thicko, but I still feel like there's some sneaky upside to this one. I kind of went back and forth on whether to write Najee Harris up or Jalen Warren for our DFS deep dive that's in the Discord for our YouTube members. And I think that they really do have a good matchup because Seattle, their fifth worst run defense in over the last five in DVOA. Seattle have also allowed the sixth most fantasy points to the running back position. So it kind of comes down to, do you think that Pittsburgh keep this close? In which case you probably want to lean Najee Harris. Or if you think the Seahawks come out there and put some points up, then it's probably going to turn more into a Jaylen Warren game, which is the game which I would prefer to see. Seattle, their defense, they have been good for fantasy purposes. They allow the 12th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 11th most to wide receivers. I already mentioned 6th most to running backs. So there are ways to get at them. I think you look back at Mason Rudolph last week, his 290 yards and 2 touchdowns. Better fantasy production than we see from Kenny Pickett. But how much of it was just buoyed massively by that like 8-yard catch and run from George Pickens? I think that we don't want to completely discount that, because Seattle ranked 32nd in DVOA against wide receiver twos. And that's still where I put George Pickens. I do put him behind Diontae Johnson. On the other side of things, you can start pretty much everyone you'd want to on the Seattle side. Kenneth Walker has completely pulled away from Zach Charbonnet. Charbonnet's had 16 yards and -4 in the last 2 games. The Steelers, they allow the 7th most fantasy points to slot receivers. Pittsburgh ranked 30th versus wide receiver 3s in DVOA. That all just seems to feel like it points towards Jackson Smith and Jigba having a nice day. Tyler Lockett's shown flashes over the last couple of weeks, but he's not completely washed. DK Metcalf, I mean, look, it's never easy starting DK Metcalf outside the top 20 wide receivers in 4 of the last 5 games, but he's still, his ceiling's undeniable. And if you're in the finals and if you're looking for a ceiling play, that's a player you can't ignore.
Yeah, and Geno Smith, since he's come back from injury, has been playing better. I think he's been better in the red zone. He's been pushing the ball downfield effectively. Hopefully, you know, if they're going to be playoff bound, he can put together a nice few games here, because I think nobody's talking about it, but Geno Smith's playing for his future right now. That contract's very movable after this season. I think if, you know, he stutters down the stretch here, if he struggles in the playoffs, Seattle could absolutely look at moving on from him after this season. And I think that he needs to kind of put it together and play well to keep that kind of wolf from the door as such.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think, you know, just feeling the Drew Lock pressure.
Absolutely. Well, when the NFL schedule makers set up week 17, they dreamed of Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes in some massive gunslinging affair with an over-under probably in the mid-50s. Sadly, that's not the case. The Chiefs are struggling. The Bengals look feisty, but Jake Browning's also come back to earth with a bump at times. Do you think this is a matchup that could have shootout potential, or do we think it's going to be a kind of defensive stalemate?
Well, the Bengals' defense isn't playing particularly great right now. They've been struggling. They lost DJ Reader, and they rank 28th against the run. The Chiefs rank 29th against the run, so neither of these two teams is going to be able to stop the other on the ground. Mahomes needs a get right spot against the pass, simply because, well, last week his 4.0 average depth of target was the lowest of his career, which is just mind-boggling, really. And it wasn't like the Chiefs were just crushing through those short yardage throws. The Bengals, they've allowed 10 tight end one games, which is the most of any team in the league. So it sets up to be a week where Travis Kelce can get right. I think that Kelce really needs that, because his scoring has been incredibly disappointing. He's gone 5 straight weeks without a touchdown, been the tight end 20 in the last 2 weeks, which, that's not what you pay a first round pick for. So, yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase isn't going to play this week by the sounds of it, which helps T. Higgins. But the Chiefs rank 5th best against the pass. So it's kind of really difficult to see how the points are going to get there for the Bengals. Joe Mixon is an okay play. Since week 12, both Josh Jacobs and James Cook scored 22 or more PPR points against his Chiefs defense. So perhaps the Bengals just lean really run heavy. But if the Chiefs go out and put up good points through Travis Kelce or even Rashee Rice early on, I can't see a way back into it for the Bengals.
No, I mean, I think that this is going to be Rashi Rice announcing himself to kind of fantasy superstardom this week. I love the matchup. I think that his ability after the catch is going to be phenomenal. We've seen, you know, last 5 weeks, fantasy production of 24.7, 14.4, 18.2, 24.1, 11.7. It feels like he's having a really great stretch that everybody's going to talk constantly about in the offseason. And I think that this could be the kind of the icing on the cake as such. I'm all in on Rashi Rice this week. As I mentioned, he's a top six option for me this week. I did want to touch on the Patrick Mahomes point, though. You talk about 4.0 ADOT last week, lowest of his career. His ADOT this year is the lowest of his career as well. He's at 6.9. But the biggest concern for me is that his time to throw is also at the slowest. You know, you talk about Tua getting the ball out on average about 2.5 seconds. Patrick Mahomes is up over 3 this year for the first time in his career. And I think that's the problem, is that Patrick Mahomes hasn't been playing well because he's not got wide receivers that can get open. And the problem is that he's having to hold the ball for longer because receivers aren't getting open downfield. They still don't get open, so therefore he's having to check it down. And that's why his ADOT is so low. The only thing that works at the moment in this Chiefs offense is the screen game. And that's where I potentially think it could be a huge Rashi Rice break, because we know that he's going to get utilized heavily in that screen game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you look at it and it's his last four finishes, Mahomes, QB 17, QB 20, QB 17, QB 18. It's just not been what anyone signed on for in terms of that experience. And yeah, without Jerry McKinnon, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a little bit more utilization like that. I believe Isaiah Pacheco is concussed. Got concussed when his helmet came off, and he immediately got smacked in the face. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week 17, I didn't expect it. But yeah, the Bengals, you know, I already talked about it. They've got the fifth worst run defense in DVOA. So she gets there.
Hold your nose, but fire it up. I think, yeah, all those people that drafted him 101 overall in those dynasty leagues all those years ago, I hope you still got him and you can at least potentially get some value back on that draft pick right now. Well, look, it feels like Denver, the team of the moment at the moment, the Chargers at Denver, our next matchup. Obviously, Russell Wilson now benched. We're going to see Jarrett Stidham under center. Does that change how you're attacking things in this matchup?
I mean, this game, it could have been so good. I was chatting about it with some friends, talking through best ball matchups and week 17, things that we thought might happen. And you look at this, and Denver allow the 11th most quarterback fantasy points, the second most running back fantasy points, the most the tight ends. And then the Chargers on the other side, they allow the fourth most QB fantasy points, the ninth most running back fantasy points, the third most wide receiver points, and the 11th most tight end points. This could have been so good if these two teams had good quarterback play at this point in the season. Jarrett Stidham, he had two starts last year, completed 67% of his passes against the Niners and the Chiefs. So by no means easy defenses to pass on. He went 365 and three touchdowns against the Niners, and then 219 and one against the Chiefs. We're hoping for a bit more like the Niners outcome than the Chiefs. Across those two games, he targeted Devontae Adams 20 times in two games, which is always nice to see, because you kind of get, okay, he's going to target his studs. But what studs has he got here? Is Cortland Sutton going to clear concussion protocol in time? If not, Jerry Jeudy? Or now that we've not got Russell Wilson out there, does Marvin Mims suddenly step into it and have a much bigger role? Does Greg Dulcich come off IR? There are so many ambiguous questions here. It's incredibly difficult. It would be an excellent spot for Javonte Williams, but he's had 14 touches in back-to-back games after averaging like 20 touches for like three straight. It seems like they really eased back on Javonte Williams, not wanting to run him out too heavily, knowing that next year is really going to be the year they want to get the most out of him. So there's... You start who you have to in this one. From a fantasy perspective, I don't think I'd attack it heavily in DFS, although, you know, with these two defenses, there is potential that they could go a bit nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of back into that hold your nose territory. I think ideally for DFS, we're probably targeting some juicier matchups, but I also really like Gerald Everett's matchup this week. I think he's, you know, Denver has allowed quite a lot of points to the tight end position. I think he's a sneaky play if you're looking for a flyer potentially this week, or, you know, so DFS lineup, trying to save some money.
So that's Donald Parham scoring 2 touchdowns this week then.
Why not? I'm starting Gerald Everett in a final of a redraft league this week. So yeah, it's probably going to come back and hurt me, definitely. Nigel's asking, half PPR, should I flex Breece Hall or Chris Olave?
That's a tricky one for me. What have you got, Rich? Let me just...
Breece Hall for me, but very, very close. I'll tell you what, I want to know how stacked your roster is that these guys are flex options, because Breece Hall's a top 7-8 running back for me this week. Chris Olave is the top 7-8 wide receiver for me this week. So if you're having to flex him, you must be absolutely loaded elsewhere.
I think I'd possibly just lean towards Olave. I think I just like that matchup a bit better.
So yeah, it's a really juicy matchup. The only reason I'm going Hall is that kind of half PPR, maybe lean towards the kind of the more volume side of things. If you want to be like Nigel and get your questions answered, you can still get your questions answered even if you're not live. Get your comments in below. Tom and I will respond to 100% of the questions, comments on YouTube over the next few days heading up to the slate, whether that be start, sit, trade questions. You just want to ask anything about us. Get them in the comments below and we'll answer 100% of those questions. Now, no Monday Night Football. So we close out the Week 17 slate on a Sunday, which is quite nice. No sweating it on a Monday night. But Green Bay at Minnesota. Do you think this could be Justin Jefferson blow-up week? Because it feels like you can start any wide receivers and quarterbacks against the Packers at the moment.
Yeah, quite nervous about this game because this is the final game that has any say in best ball competition outcomes. And I think, as you say, Justin Jefferson against this Packers defense that over the last 5 games in DVOA ranks 32nd against the pass and 31st against the run. We know that they are going to make a change in defensive coordinator there. And then you look at just the vibes around this team, like, they suspended Jair Alexander for the most comical thing of almost messing up a coin flip, because he made himself a team captain because they were playing in Carolina where he's from, walked out there, the coaches weren't aware of it, and then he completely cocked up the coin flip, and it was only because the referees decided to help him out in that situation that they got away with it. But yeah, so no Jair Alexander, who they needed to be able to come close to taking on Justin Jefferson. You've got to imagine they try to double him. With TJ Hockenson on IR, Jordan Addison potentially not playing, you're talking maybe 14 targets or so to Justin Jefferson. But a lot of it comes back to Reed, who'll be starting at quarterback, with Nick Mullins being benched after going for over 300 passing yards in both his starts. So can Reed live up to that? Because that's what we want from a fantasy quarterback, you know, a player who's going to pass for a lot of yards. And even though he wasn't the best, it was good for what we needed. And on the other side, the Vikings, they allow the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers. And I'd really like to see Jaden Reed play in this game, because that's the kind of player you want against this blitz-heavy scheme. The Vikings lead the league in blitz rate. And a player like Jaden Reed, who you can get the ball out to quickly and make, you know, make plays after the catch, is somebody I'd really like to see out there. If Luke Musgrave plays, then you suddenly can't start Tucker Kraft. I think the dynamic between them will be very interesting, because we've seen that one of them can be a fringe tight end one at times. But if they're both out there, I think they're going to eat into each other's production. Jordan Love, he's not thrown for 300 passing yards in the last 5 games. But he's thrown for 2 or more touchdowns in 6 of the last 7, so he's kind of getting it done enough. And Aaron Jones, they seem to be taking it easy with him. He's been hovering around like 48 to 51% of snaps the last 2 weeks. Last week, he had 22 touches for 135 yards. But if you're not getting into the end zone, it's always going to be tricky to be a top running back and he finishes RB16. I'd be okay starting him this week, but the Vikings do rank 9th best against the running DVOA. I think I'd just prefer to play this one purely from the passing game as much as possible, sprinkling in a bit of Ty Chandler.
Yeah, it feels like Aaron Jones has been getting it done, but just not getting the volume that he deserves. He's leading the league at the running back position in success rate, and yet isn't getting the volume on the ground, which I find slightly strange. But yeah, I think I agree with you. Let's attack it from the wide receiver position, from the quarterback position, and hope that this is a high scoring shootout. Just wanted to come back to the question from Nigel about should he flex Breece Hall or Olave. He's told us his starting lineup. I would absolutely put Breece Hall in the running back position over James Conner and then flex Chris Olave. There's no way I'd be starting James Conner over Breece Hall this week.
No, agree on that.
And then Monkey Penguin suggesting that Justin Jefferson's going to play quarterback and complete passes to himself because Joe Barry is completely useless, as we all know.
Yep, can't argue with it.
No, absolutely. Well, that's it. We are there. We are done. Week 17 in the books. Best of luck this week. I hope you bring home some titles. If you have brought home some titles at the end of this week, let us know. Give us a tweet out on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, or let us know in the comments below. But get those lineups set. Get those questions in. Best of luck. And we will see you again next week for some DFS chat.